The songwriter Steve Earle is playing a role that brings some people great respect and causes others to look like fools. He's an artist who speaks out about politics. Since the 1980s, Steve Earle has earned a reputation as one of the best country music lyricists, though his songs are often considered too edgy to play on country music radio. He writes about outcasts, Kentucky Mountaineers, moonshiners, and murderers. The song Copperhead Road portrayed a Vietnam veteran who becomes a drug dealer. Steve Earle's vivid character sketches became more overtly political after he spent time in prison on drug charges. Last year, he sparked a controversy when he wrote a song about John Walker Lynn, the so-called American Taliban. The lyrics told the story from Lynn's point of view. Now, a new documentary and live album follow Steve Earle on his politically charged tours.
Back home, I have been accused of being unpatriotic, which doesn't bother me very much. Mainly because I'm reasonably sure that my definition of patriotism and the definition of my accusers are pretty far apart.
There's always been a political component in what I do. I still probably, you know, when I die, if you go through all my work, you'll probably find more songs about girls than anything else. But I'm living in really politically charged times, and I never learned to separate issues and what's going on around me from my art. The world has changed a lot in the last 2 years, and I think my music is just reflecting that at the moment.
Your first cause, if you want to call it that, was the death penalty.
It is the death penalty. It's my primary area of activism.
And is that how you got into being more directly political in your music, is because of your interest in the death penalty?
Probably. I mean, I was, you know, it's a recovery thing, too. I'm a recovering heroin addict, and you know, you change the way you do everything when you're in recovery. And I just, after 4.5 years of not making any records because I couldn't.
Because you were in prison.
I was on the street and then in jail. And then... For one thing, I had a lot of time on my hands because I didn't have to go out and find $500 worth of dope every day. And my life changed. And, you know, I'd always been opposed to the death penalty. But the first thing that got me back into the movement was Tim Robbins called me to write a song for Dead Man Walking.
That song from the movie Dead Man Walking was a story told from the perspective of a prison guard.
Right. My dad grew up in Northeast Texas and went to college in Huntsville, which is where the prison is. And some of that voice in there is him, you know, talking about his experiences when he was in college and an execution would take place. And you know, I witnessed an execution in Texas a few years after that. And that just happened because I, you know, if guys on death row wrote me, I would write them back, and I got to know a few of them too well, and I was finally asked to witness an execution. And the biggest surprise for me is the empathy that I had for the people that had to participate in that execution.
Let's listen to a song that you've written a little bit more recently that deals with the death penalty. This is a song called Over Yonder, which is told from the perspective not of the guard who takes the prisoner to the execution chamber, but the prisoner who's getting ready to go.
It's actually written from the perspective of Jonathan Wayne Nobles, who is the inmate whose execution I witnessed.
This world will spin around without me. The sun will rise up in the east, shining down on all them that hate me. I just hope my going brings some peace. But I'm going over yonder.
All my guys are dead now, and I don't get to know inmates personally anymore because I don't want to run the risk of being asked to witness another execution. I can't take another hit. But yeah, a lot of the words in that song are John's, and it was about lending John a voice.
The fact that he was guilty, which is acknowledged in the song as well,
right,
doesn't change your point of view at all.
Absolutely not. I'm opposed to the death penalty. I'm not trying to save anybody on death row. My objection to the death penalty is about trying to keep me from going to hell. My theory is that in a democracy, if the government kills someone, then I'm killing someone, and I object to the damage that does to my spirit, period.
Now, let me just ask, if I can, about how you got from the death penalty to some other issues. What makes you qualified to talk about politics, the war in Afghanistan, health care, any of the other things you've talked about?
I'm a citizen in a democracy. That qualifies me and all of us.
And how did you get involved in singing about those other issues, those broader issues?
I wrote America Version 6.0 about our health care system because I was asked to write it because of a film called John Q. And then September 11th happened, and it was decided that that song was too overtly political for that film, and it was literally thrown out of the film at the last minute. And then I saw a skinny 20-year-old kid taped to a board on CNN, and I happen to have a skinny 20-year-old kid, or he's 21 now. He's about 4 months younger than John Walker Lind, and I related to that story as a parent. And you know, it's a song that I'm reasonably sure nobody else was going to write, and so I felt like I had to.
Come to fight the jihad, and our hearts were pure and strong. When death filled the air, we all offered a prayers, prepared for our martyrdom. But Allah has some other plan, some secret not revealed. Now they're dragging me back.
All of this discussion about whether an artist has a right or an artist, you know, is qualified. We weren't having that discussion in the 60s and 70s. What qualified Bob Dylan to write the songs that he wrote? What qualified Joan Baez to write the songs she wrote? And, you know, yeah, I've got an eighth grade education, but, you know, I read a lot. I don't like the way this country's going, but I don't blame it on them. There's always been a them. I think what happened is us, meaning the people that think more like I do, went to sleep. And I take responsibility for that. And now I'm trying to do something about it.
Are you trying to market yourself as a more political artist than you were?
I think I could have made better career moves than writing a song about John Walker Lind. I mean, what I'm doing is lending a voice to somebody. And, you know, it's not about an agreement with what John Walker Lind did. It's just about not forgetting when everyone else was lining up to lynch him that he was a human being. And I've done that pretty consistently throughout my career. That's why I write songs about pretty despicable people, you know, by everyone's standards that are on death row. But you know what? They're still people, and how we treat them is an indicator of our own humanity. And I don't think we always take care of our humanity the way we should.
In this documentary, you report that a record company executive encouraged you to make a more political album than you had up to that time.
It was Danny Goldberg, who owns Artemis, who I record for. And at the time, I wasn't really keen on the idea because I thought it would be boring. And what I found is that September 11th did happen, and I found myself writing the record that I thought I would never write. I don't know what other record I would write. And I think my next record will probably be pretty political too, because, you know, things haven't changed that much, or they've changed for the worse. And I hope that, you know, things do change so I can go back to writing chick songs.
Well, Steve Earle, thanks very much. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks.
It's Christmas time in Washington, and Democrats rehearsed getting me the gear. Four more years, things not getting worse. Republicans drink whiskey neat and thank your lucky stars. They say cannot seek another term. There'll be no more FDR.
From NPR News, that's All Things Considered. I'm Steve Inskeep.